Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to our show. My name is Deborah Rose, and I'm your host on Circle Talk. Circle Talk is one of the shows featured on CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. CSNP has a lineup of rotating shows throughout each month. Mondays feature Lunatic Mondays with host Laura Gonzalez, alternating weeks in English and Spanish. It can't be Tuesday without Circle Talk, and I continue to be the host for this fun discussion show on the first and third Tuesdays of each month. Wednesday features Nature Spirituality with none other than Selena Fox. Are you in the mood for some magic? Then you'll want to tune in on Thursday for Moon Magic with Jeanette and David Ewing. It is such a fun and informative lineup of shows, and I hope you try them all. Coming Friday on February 5th, the Thousand Goddesses Gathering Global Grid will begin. Tonight, we're going to be talking with Mayor Cromwell, the visionary behind this global event. Mayor Cromwell is a humble servant to the Great Mother. She is an internationally known Gaia communicator and priestess, author and healer. Some might call her a medicine woman, called the voice of Earth Mother by Rainbow Thunderheart, and a gifted elder. Mayor's work is to support the birthing of a new Earth emerging now. She was also told by Woody Vaspar, a Hawaiian elder, that her work is in the Native prophecies. Mayor's award-winning books include The Great Mother Bible, Messages from Earth, Earth Mother, and If I Give You God's Phone Number, Searching for Spirituality in America. Mayor has studied with the Native American elders for 25 years, along with other gifted spiritual teachers. And as we said, she is a visionary behind the Thousand Goddesses Gathering Global Grid. She's currently teaching the Great Mother Love Way, a year-long course, and just finished hosting a Reconnecting with Nature Spirits webinar. She also leads workshops on earth changes and Mother Gaia's broader picture, sacred gardening, womb wisdom, and more. Mayor's healing practice is based in Western Maryland, and she is a form worm herder. She absolutely loves to lead ceremony and is a huge fan of sacred silliness. I am so excited to have her on tonight. And for more information on Mayor, her course, or to purchase her books, please go to her website, which is www.mayorcromwell.com. Welcome, Mayor.
Hi, Deborah. It's so great to be with you tonight.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much because I know this weekend is very, very busy for you. And I signed up. So tell our listeners about the Thousand Goddess Gathering Global Grid that's happening this weekend.
Oh, okay. I understand now. Honestly, what you signed up for was something different than the Thousand Goddesses Gathering Global Grid.
Yeah, there you go. So tell
me
about
that.
There you
go. Yeah. No, it's all perfect. No, what's happening, it's a summit with 32 different speakers, and I'm one of the people being interviewed. I'm one of the speakers. And it's free. It starts this Friday and it goes until, I believe, the 14th of February. It goes for 9 days. And so it's called Awaken the Goddess Within Summit. And if you want to learn more about that, you can go to my website, which is marecromwell.com. And there's a banner with and a link right there on my homepage. So that's what I was wondering what you were talking about when you said this weekend, Thousand Goddesses Gathering Global. I'm like, really? I didn't know I was doing that.
Yeah, you know I've got too much going on. So tell me, are you going to host a workshop or a lecture? Tell us what you're going to talk about.
I'm going to be talking for about 45 minutes with the hostess or the host, Shamet Horsfield. I'm also offering a free meditation on connecting more sacredly with Mother Gaia via her love cord connection. And so that's what my offering is for this 9-day event. And there's some really interesting speakers, and it all boils down to bringing forth the goddess within ourselves right now, and how the goddess is coming forward in so many ways. But the key thing is for each of us, even men, to recognize that they hold the divine feminine or the goddess within themselves.
So tell me, how did the mother connect with you in a way that she connects with you?
Yeah. And honestly, I'm going through kind of a quiet phase right now. I go through phases with her where I don't hear her all the time like other times.
Uh-huh.
What really kicked this into a very, very deep relationship rapport with mother was in late May 2012, I was diagnosed with lymphoma. And 4 days after that, I was already scheduled to do a ceremony for Gaia, for Mother Gaia, with a gifted Algonquin man, a friend of mine. And Gaia had asked Gaia had asked him to ask me for the two of us to do it together. Yes. And she said to him, when she put the request out to him, that this would be healing for her. And so we didn't really know what that meant, but I knew that in spite of the diagnosis that I was going to be there at that ceremony. And it was just two of us, and we did it in a forest. And he said to me just prior to starting the ceremony, because he was essentially leading it, that he was going to be bringing mother's energy and consciousness into my energy body, but he didn't know how we were going to disconnect afterwards. And he was a little concerned about that. And my response to him was, I'm really not worried, because I know my life is to serve mother. I've known that for a while. And so we did the ceremony, and right afterwards, that's when I started hearing mother talking to me incredibly clearly. And the first thing she said was, if you surrender to me to the extent that you are willing to surrender, are capable of surrendering, I will help you heal from the lymphoma without the doctors. And I was like, I'm there.
Oh, wow.
I'm like saying, I'm signing on the dotted line. I mean, I believe what I said back to her was, of course, I was terrified. I mean, in the moment I didn't want to do radiation. I didn't want to do any hardcore drugs.
Right.
I didn't want to do chemotherapy. And so things started to happen really fast right after that ceremony. I mean, mother called me to the ocean to do ceremony for 3 days. And then while I was there, I was up in the middle of the night downloading messages from her. And she told me while I was at the ocean, and I live in Maryland, so it's not that far to drive to the coast here. She said that she wanted me to put aside the book that I was writing. And I'd actually hired a writing coach for a lot of money for this other book. She wanted me to put it aside. And yeah, it was a big like, okay, I've leaped in here. She wanted me to put that aside completely and write this other book. And she gave me the title, Messages from Mother Earth Mother, and she gave me the title headings of all the chapters. And then she also gave me the first message, which is not the very first message in the book, but it was the first message she gave me for the book, to be within the book. And that was a message from her to us women, her daughters. And it was really a call for us to come back home to her. But it was more than that. I mean, it's like a 5-page message. So things really kicked into high gear. And that book was written in 5 weeks right after that. And then mother said, well, it's time for you to publish it, because she knows everything. She knew I knew how to self-publish. I had already put my first book out. And that book won a couple of national awards. And then in the fall of 2013, oh, by the way, FYI, my cancer, my lymphoma was healed by the end of November 2013. And the only reason that was really certain was I had a gallbladder attack, and they had to do another CT scan. And the CT scan showed that all the lymph nodes were back to normal, other than one that was slightly enlarged, but all the rest of them were back to normal. So
did the doctors question that, or did they think that was like, what's going on?
Well, my physician, my primary care physician, was a really open-minded guy, and he gave me a really long free rein. And he was ecstatic, and he was shocked, if I can say it in that way. He wanted to know what I did. And my response to him was, well, I did a lot of ceremony. I had a lot of spiritual support. I changed my diet. You know, I was doing really good herbs. You know, it was a really deep inner exploration time. And I was honestly promoting messages from Mother Earth, Mother at the same time. And doing some gardening work on the side, because at the time I had a gardening business. So yeah, that's what happened with my lymphoma. But then what happened then was that same month that I got the gallbladder attack, 2 weeks before that, I thought I was going to move to Washington State and help Robin Youngblood, a very gifted Okanogan Cherokee medicine woman. I thought I was going to help her set up a healing center out in the northwest corner of Washington State. And then Mother woke me up. And 5 a.m, that's her way of really getting my attention. She woke me up and said, you're not moving to Washington State. You're going to stay here in Maryland and write the Great Mother Bible. And I was like, what? And again, I had surrendered. I still have surrendered. But I told her, I said, I can't write a book with the title Bible in the cover. And she just kept on saying, you're the one. You know, you're the one. All you need to do is listen. I mean, I kept on challenging her on this. And her response was still, you're the one. And then it started January 2nd, 2014. Feels like ages ago now. The conversations. And what was wild was that again, it was Mother waking me up at 4 a.m, 4:45, 5 a.m. I was living in a house that I didn't own. I was renting it from a woman, but technically she didn't own it either. But she had lost it through bankruptcy. But the bank had never fully foreclosed on her. So she lived in that house for 3.5 years after filing bankruptcy. And then rented it to me and told me that the bank could foreclose any time, and that was one of the contingencies. Right. And I went, okay, I just trust Mother, because Mother guided me to be in that house. I mean, it was like that's where I was supposed to be. But the interesting thing was when Mother woke me up at 5 in November 2013 and said, you're going to stay here in Maryland. I mean, essentially she said, you're going to stay in this house. And I said to her, how can this be? Because we're sending out letters from the lawyers and the intermediaries between the mortgage banks and they want me to move out. They want to take full possession of the house. And Mother said, you will be able to stay in the house as long as it takes for you to write the book. I'm like, okay. And sure enough, I didn't have to leave until the middle of October the following fall, and the bank gave me a check of $1,500 to move out.
Wow.
When I tried, there were just so many miracles. Like when Mother called me to the ocean in June of 2012, right after the ceremony with the Algonquin man, when she called me to the ocean, on my way there, I filled my tank up full. And a little VW TDI at the time, the diesel engine. And so I filled my tank up, and as I'm driving along the highway headed to the ocean, I'm watching the gas gauge, and it's just staying on full. And I'm watching this going, something really weird's going on here. And I was afraid it was broken and that I was going to have to pay for it. And, you know, and I was living off my savings at the time. And finally, after 110 miles, it started to go down normally. And I watched it, like, I think my jaw probably hit the floor of the car. And I said to Mother, are you doing this? She said, this is so you know I'm taking care of you, so you can trust me. Yeah.
Wow.
I could go on.
This is so fascinating to me. So you channel, so how do you know it's her? You hear her voice?
I hear her voice, and it's a very distinctive message or very distinctive energy I feel, and I hear her voice. And sometimes she communicates me with me by sending ripples of energy through me. When she really likes something someone has said to me or someone's actions, you know, I'll get ripples of energy. And it's usually a nudge from her to tell that person how much she really loves what they're doing and what they're about. But usually it's direct messages. And I've done, in 2017, she made me, again, this path of surrender is a trip. She said, it's time for you to now do videos. I'm like, what? So I actually have a YouTube channel, and there are Gaia teachers there. And there are also some other short videos. I started doing nature spirit teachers with an incredibly gifted nature spirit mystic, a friend of mine in the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk a little bit about him if this is a good time. A year and a half ago, I was doing events in the Netherlands and in Germany, and I connected with a very gifted Dutchman before I went over, and he ended up hosting some of my events. And as soon as we started talking over Zoom to start planning for the events, I'm like, this man is amazing. He's in his mid-30s. He is an incredible nature spirit mystic / wizard. And wizard is a word they use more over there than shaman.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He knows he's been a wizard many lifetimes, but he grew up, like probably many people you know, perhaps, he grew up seeing the nature spirits and communicating with them. But his gifts are so honed that it was just so much fun to be with him. The guy lives magic. He just oozes magic
Wow. Anywhere
he goes and everything he does. And so when he and I were parting ways after him hosting me, I said, Cornelis, his name is Cornelis Jan Couperus. I said, Cornelis, I really feel like you and I are meant to do a webinar together on the nature spirits, because the nature spirits are calling for more people to remember them and to know that they're real and they're very much a part of the fabric of life and consciousness here on Earth. And they're highly significant in their role here on Earth. And so the webinar that that you mentioned when you read my bio, I need to update that bio. I'm realizing we did that webinar last February. So it was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually available on my website to purchase. And it is, people were getting activations every week. It was a 5-session webinar. There was so much high energy in that webinar because the nature spirits were pumping us and activating us.
Wow.
It was remarkable. We had no idea. We had no idea what was going to happen. But Cornelis' connection with some of the, you know, the overarching deities that are known mostly in the Celtic pantheon, like Manon an Mic Léir, mm-hmm, and Cair Nunos, he's tight with them. Like Manon an Mic Léir is basically guiding Cornelis' life right now. He's talking
wow
to him all the time. He's, you know, activating him. And so we're going to do another webinar called Deepening. I forget the title. It's either Deepening Your Connection with the Nature Spirits or Deepening Our Connection with the Nature Spirits. It's one of those two options. But we're going to go more into it for this webinar. It's going to be in April, 4 sessions. And we're going to go into the history of nature spirits on the planet, starting from when the first nature spirits appeared. And they've all come from off planet. They've all been sent here to help evolution here on Earth. It's a very highly sophisticated divine plan that's been in play for a long time. And I don't fully understand all of it at all. But when Cornelis and I get together, inevitably, and when I say get together, I mean we talk over Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Inevitably, there will be nature spirits hanging out around him who will be communicating to him that he's then communicating to me. And we're both getting activated by all the nature spirits that are surrounding him. It's a total kick. It's just the best. He's really half elf. And he knows
that
he's from
so
another
cool
planet. Yeah, he knows what planet he's from. That's the elf planet. And he's just a beautiful, beautiful, high-spirited, high-energy person. So we're doing another webinar. So people who are really interested in learning more about nature spirits and connecting with them and really opening up your energy field to them, you know, please join us. And the first one is available on my website. You can find information on it on my homepage.
So you can purchase on your website the previous session. Would it be smart to watch that before the second session?
They complement each other. You don't have to, but you may get a little bit more out of the second one if you do the first one. But it's not a prerequisite, So I'm looking at it like we're making sure to design it so that they complement each other, but it will take you deeper. So that it's just really fun. And what came out of that, actually, I'll mention this, and this is an invitation everybody listening, was a big invitation from Mother Gaia and from the nature spirits to have a global apology day, apologies to the nature spirits. So we did that after the webinar was over, and I promoted it all over my networks. But last year on March 21st was an invitation for everybody to do ceremony on their own, wherever they were. I put guidelines up on my website to offer apologies to the nature spirits, to really reconciliate with them and win their trust back again, because a lot of them have felt very offended and wounded by what humans have been doing. And we used to work very, very closely with them.
Yeah.
So again, that's accessible via my website too.
Yeah, and I just looked real quick online. The pricing for the previous seminar is very gracious. I mean, it's under $50. It's very gracious for five sessions. That's very, very affordable and very nice.
Well, that's why we set it up like that, especially considering the economy and how many people are hurting. We wanted to make it, you know, open to as many people as possible.
All right. That is really exciting. Tell me, you've said several times, and for our listeners, I know you say that, like, you went to the ocean and that you did ceremony. Describe to me what that looks like. What does that mean for you?
Oh, well, I have studied for many, many years with Native American teachers, and then I also have basically been guided spiritually, you know, ways to do ceremony beyond what I've learned from these teachers. And so what does ceremony look like to me? Well, I definitely smudge. I call in my guardians. I call in my spirit teams. I state out loud the focus of what this particular ceremony is. I mean, I start my day every morning with a little mini ceremony. I know some people use the term ritual, but I use ceremony as and
actually, I like that word. That's why I'm asking. I like that word.
The ceremony as opposed to ritual?
Yeah, I don't know why, but I really like that word.
Yeah, there's something about that word that kind of, for me at least, conveys a deeper energetic to it. I don't know why.
It sounds very respectful. I don't know why. It just felt very respectful to me.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I like that connotation. I do a lot of sacred fire ceremony in my backyard. I have a sacred fire pit. And so that takes my ceremony to a different place. You know, because the fire itself has its own consciousness. And actually, when I was writing the Great Mother Bible in that house, there was a beautiful wood stove, and I kept the heat down really low, and that wood stove heated the house for the winter, and I was doing ceremony with the wood stove fire every day. I was offering tobacco and doing prayers with the fire there. And actually, you know, maybe you know people that have experienced this, but after a while, when you really open up to fire, it will start to talk with you also. So that started to happen to me that winter. I can't say that that's happened to me here in my backyard, but I think if I did more ceremony and really tuned in, I may be able to tune in on that level. Gosh, what else to say about ceremony? Well, it usually involves a lot of tobacco if it's outside. Inside, it's always done around a medicine wheel or an altar. Like this winter, I have, and actually this has been set up on my floor here for a number of years now where I live, but I have this really huge medicine wheel all that I do my ceremony at every morning. And that's not even my personal altar. This is like my healing altar when I have clients that come over. Mm-hmm. But this is the one that I've kind of camped out at all winter. And there are different animal figurines to call in different animal medicines, different types of stones for different energetics. But I think all of that probably sounds pretty familiar to you.
Mm-hmm. I just think that's – I was just interested. Again, it was different terminology, and I can tell – how much Native American and influence in spirituality has affected your own personal spiritual practice. I think, as you said in your bio, that you've worked with Native American elders for like 25 years. So, I mean, that's really exciting.
Yeah, I'm very humbled, and I feel very blessed to have had all the experiences I've had. I apprenticed first for 14 years with a Cherokee medicine woman, and she taught me a great deal. And then, since that time, I've traveled and worked with some other elders. And there's a Hawaiian elder who stays in touch with me pretty closely. It's really, honestly, the only way that I can do this work with Mother so publicly is because these elders have confirmed how closely they can tell I'm working with Mother. You know, they, mm-hmm. otherwise I'd be doing this very quietly. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I think you understand this, is that when we're starting to open up and listen on the spirit plane, we have to be really careful who we're listening to. That discernment takes a long time, and it's helpful if you have elders or teachers or mentors who can confirm because of their gifts, yes, this is who you're talking to. And yes. So I've had those confirmations, and so hence it gives me that level of sort of confidence to show up publicly and say yes.
Absolutely. And that you said that you know your work is in Native prophecies. I know I would be thinking, okay, I've now become crazy. I'm getting these messages, and I know I don't have near your gifts, but the gods come to me usually in dreams, but it took me a long time, and even now sometimes I will second guess
yeah.
myself. And something that I admire greatly with you that I need, you have reminded me that I need to work on, is you have a very high level of trust, that you could very quickly trust and be open to that. I think sometimes, especially, I could just speak for myself, maybe that's what blocks me is fear. And I think you've been given the gifts because you were quite simply open to accepting them. And maybe some of us are afraid. So we can learn from you.
Well, I'm honored by what you're saying. I mean, it was such a challenging time having just gotten the cancer diagnosis.
Right. Right.
And I was freaking out, you know?
Yeah.
And I honestly look back at my life right now and all these various twists and turns and miracles and magic, and I really look at it now like this has all been coordinated on the spirit plane.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly mm-hmm. do believe that, because there just have been too many amazing things that have happened and just little nudges and guidances long before that ceremony where Mother was brought into my energy body. And I, like when I was 8 years old, I named my first cat, or the first cat I could name when I was really, you know, kind of conscious of really naming her.
Right.
I called her Mother Nature. I don't know why I called her that, other than that's what came forward. And so I look at it all right now as this is my soul contract. You know,
right.
I agreed to do all these things before I was even born. And I
right.
didn't even know what soul contracts were until I was studying with the Cherokee teacher, and I came up with the crazy idea with my first book. And I didn't even know I was writing a book. I just got this crazy idea of like, wow, you know what? Suppose you could call God up on the phone. What do you think you would say to him? And then I thought, why don't I ask people this question and see what they respond? And so I ended up interviewing these people and tape recording close to 50 interviews. But after I did the first four or five out of just fun, because the idea wouldn't go away, and I thought, well, I'll just play around with this idea, and I got a tape recorder.
Uh-huh.
Then I realized this is a book. And as the book, it took forever to write. It took 7 years to write that. I had no idea how to put together in a book. But one thing that was brought to my attention by the Cherokee teacher, because I would ask her, I said, why am I working on this book? This seems so crazy. And she said, this is your soul contract work. This is part of what you agreed to do before you were born. I went, oh, that's why the idea wouldn't go away.
Wow.
So I think this is a message to anybody out there, is that if you have this really big nudging idea and it won't go away, as crazy it may be, it's probably part of your soul contract.
Wow. What did you, when you did your book, If I Gave You God's Phone Number, and you said you talked to 50 people, did you see any similarities, or did you, what did you learn from writing that book?
Oh, wow. I learned that we all have our own unique relationship with the divine.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no one size fits all, nor should there ever be a one size fits all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I interviewed people who were agnostics, and that was hard for me because
mm-hmm.
I really wanted them to like be open to this idea of being able to call God or call the divine. But they had some really valid reasons why they don't believe in God.
Right.
I also learned about how many people are God wounded. It's not
mm-hmm.
that they're wounded by God, him or her itself or whatever, the great mystery. They're wounded by how their upbringing inflicted
right. Usually
a lot
parents,
of
parents, family. Right.
Yeah. There's a lot of that. And you know, I grew up Catholic. I walked away from that. It didn't fill me up, and it certainly left me with a bit of guilt that I had to work through, and probably
mm-hmm.
still am working through to some degree. Some people have God's phone number already. And again, I'm using the term God in a really broad way, because
right.
you could say Allah. Like, I interviewed a guy,
right.
a really remarkable man who was Sufi, or is still Sufi. And I was actually interviewing him the same time we were bombing Kabul in Afghanistan, right after 9/11. I was interviewing
wow.
this man who was from Kabul and living in Philadelphia at a Sufi community. It was just wild. He has the number. I mean, as soon as I started asking him the question, he went into an altered state, and the energy in the room where we were just shifted, and I could tell.
Wow.
I mean, he's very connected. And there are a couple other people I interviewed who are like that. So it was just, you know, not everybody's interview made the cut. There are 21 interviews in the book, and I did
mm-hmm.
49 interviews in total. You know, I'd obviously selected the ones that were the most interesting. And I haven't
mm-hmm.
really opened the book up in a number of years because it came out in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was a very fascinating exploration of how different people's beliefs are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just found that interesting, because the more I learn, I went to the Parliament of the World's Religions, and
oh, good
and
for you.
What I have found is that we all have different words. And we have different gods, but we kind of all do the same thing. We sing, we chant, we pray, we light candles. You know what I mean? I mean, so it made me realize maybe some of this is basic human needs. And, you know, we're arguing over, you know, whose God is the best, and it really doesn't matter. So that's why
no,
I was always
really
interested to say, yeah. So
I mean,
is,
the way I would... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that's just what struck me when you were talking about that, how interesting that must be to talk to a whole different variety of different people to see if you could see any similarities or anything.
Yeah, I mean, there were a few commonalities between some of them, but not all of them. You know, I mean, especially the agnostics, because they've left. they've like disconnected, which made me sad, mm-hmm. but that's where they are. Although I did ponder where they would be on their deathbed, like what would be shifting at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's my understanding that when people are in the process of passing over, the veil just gets so thin that it's not there anymore. And they start receiving visitations from loved ones who have already mm-hmm. passed, and the whole sense of the other dimensions opens up to them. So, but this, what you were sharing about the World Parliament of Religions is, so many of these religions, they do all carry a common truth of love and mm-hmm. Honoring the divine. But what's missing, for me at least, and for I've heard and read other indigenous peoples talk about this, is they don't connect with Mother Gaia.
Absolutely.
You know, they don't see and understand that we have this planetary caretaker and this incredibly mm-hmm. sacred planet upon which we live, and all of the sacred life here, like nature spirits. I don't know of any mm-hmm. religion that teaches about nature spirits. If there's one out there, tell me, because
Absolutely.
The nature spirits were like, hello, we're here. you have forgotten us. We play a pretty key role in all life here on the planet. So there's some big gaps. And so when Mother asked me to write the Great Mother Bible, she essentially wanted me to fill in some gaps, and speak from the perspective of this is your Earth Mother. But what I was going to say when I started talking about the writing process, it was pretty wild because it all started January 2nd, 2014. But what first woke me up first thing in the morning at, you know, 5, whenever it was not Earth Mother or Mother Gaia. It was actually the Great Divine Mother, which blew my mind. But I could tell it was a different voice and a different energy to her. And she introduced herself as the Great Divine Mother. I went, whoa.
Wow.
And then she passed it over. Yeah, then she passed it over to Earth Mother after a couple of mornings of waking me up and talking with me. And she said she would be speaking through Earth Mother for, you know, a chunk of the book. So, and since that time of writing that book, I have gotten into closer connection with the Great Divine Mother also, in addition to Mother Gaia. And by the way, I don't know, this is a wild thing to share, but that we have a new mother. We have a new planetary caretaker here on Earth. I don't know how many of you within Selena's circles talk about this, but we actually have a new, I call her Mother Gaia as opposed to Earth Mother. It's a wild thing.
Wow.
Tell us
some more. Is this, I wanted to give you a chance to talk about your year-long course. Is this part of that, or is that something new? Or?
It is part of that. I mean, not that I had anything
tell
to
us
do
about that.
With the, yeah, so this year-long course is called the Great Mother Love Way. And within this course, we meet twice a month for 12 months. And you're introduced to our new mother, Gaia, and you learn the story of how it is she came in and what happened to our former Earth Mother. Those are the names, the distinctions I make now. You're introduced and learned how to spiritually connect with one of the councils that Mother sits on, that is a council that is within the universal realms, that is basically overseeing a lot of the ascension or the birthing of the new Earth energetics here on Earth. You learn about ceremony, how to lead ceremony, how to create altars, different types of altars, including ancestor altars. We even have a class on dragons, which is pretty mm-hmm. wild and very fun. And everyone, I guess I should just say this, everyone who is participates in the class receives dragon guardians, either one guardian or
oh,
more,
wow.
depending on who that person is. Yeah, it's pretty wild. It's not something I knew that we were going to do when I was teaching this 2 years ago the first time, but it was guided. This must come forward. So dragons are very, very important here on Earth. And there are planetary dragons here, and then there are dragons from the galactic realms and the cosmic realms that mm-hmm. are supporting the full Earth ascension. There's just so much happening. We talk about, I teach a methodology for working with your shadow self to really clear it. We learn about some shamanic practices, claiming your space, we learn about the Christ consciousness and how that weaves in with the birthing of the new earth. I'm trying to remember what else. It's a pretty rich year of a lot of different things. And the feedback I'm getting from the people who have been taking this with me has been really wonderful and humbling. Like, you know, people telling me how transformative it is. You do get activated. Your gifts will most likely wake up a bit taking this course. And I can't really take credit for that other than it's Mother's energy just moving through me and moving through the teachings and some of the other energetic spirit team members that are part of the course. So yeah, it's a year long, it's sliding scale. I would like to make it open to anybody and everybody. I don't want to turn anybody away. So you can find out about it through my website at marycromwell.com, or you can go to greatmotherloveway.net. That's the URL
okay.
for that.
When does it start?
It's starting at the end of March.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a rich course. It's really all about just deeply immersing yourself into Mother's love and stepping into who you are or I am in a much deeper way to really fulfilling our full potential.
If you say you have a background in British traditional or chaos magic or you are a druid, do you need to be a certain path or not to be a certain path to get anything out of this course?
It's hard for me to answer that question because I haven't studied those other paths.
Okay. Do you need to follow a path of Native American in order to do this?
No.
Okay.
All you need is to want to connect with Mother Gaia and to be far more intimately. Yeah, just to be. So the people who join my class, they come from various different traditions. But more than not, they're people who just feel a really deep connection with the earth and they want to go deeper.
Mm-hmm.
It's about embracing Mother's love and allowing Mother's love to flow through ourselves and our lives wherever we go, whoever we touch.
Oh wow, that's really cool. It sounds like a mystery school, or what my understanding of a mystery school would be. So
yeah, and I think that's accurate. I mean, actually, on the website page, I do say it's part mystery school.
Say
that. Yeah, because it really, I never went to or studied in a formal mystery school, so I'm really not sure exactly what they are, but I know that there's some overlaps from my minimal sort of knowledge. So it's part shamanic training, part mystery school, part priestess or priest training. It's open to men and women. But it's really about stepping into our fullest potential and serving Mother to really help birth this new earth coming in. Things are happening so fast. Energies are shifting so fast. I can't keep track of all of it. There are some people who are tracking that far more than I am. I just do what Mother asks me to do and show up where she asks me to show up. But I do. What does happen is people do get activated. It's been pretty wild witnessing what's been happening with that.
So you said earlier that Mother is quiet now. What does that mean? I mean, you get a break from writing a book?
Yeah, she's not pushing me really hard to write another book. There are things she wants me to do. Well, there are times when I just need to, like, do some inner work. Because I'm on my journey like all the rest of us. And so that's when the communications between Mother and me can be a little bit more silent. And then she may wake me up. Like 2 weeks ago, she did wake me up really early and said that it's really important that I promote Gaia's Oneness Grid and the activation that's on my website to encourage a lot more people to do that, because that's a really powerful meditation/activation that's all about sinking into Mother's heart energetically and calling in the council that she's a part of. And she's part of many councils. I mean, she's got so many councils she works with, and I've gotten to know a number of them. But this one council is, it's the family of one within the universal realms. And they are, they just bring forth the most beautiful, luminous love energetics. And so right after the Thousand Goddesses Gathering, the second one we did that was on the Washington Mall, 2 days after that, I was downloaded, or was downloaded in me, this activation visualization to be able to record it and then have it available so that all of us can call on this council on the universal plane and ask them to fill Mother up with luminous love by our energy body merging with Mother Gaia's energy body. So these are the kinds of things where at least at this time, she'll get my attention in that way, and then she's quiet again. Because I'm just doing a lot of inner work right now.
So it's Gaia's oneness grid.
Gaia's oneness grid, and it's
pretty. Is it something, is it on your YouTube channel, or how do you access that?
It's actually, if you go to my website and you scroll down just a little bit, it's one of the free meditations on my website. Another free meditation is Mother's Love Cord meditation. So they're two very different ones, because the Gaia's oneness grid is all about amplifying the energetic grid around the planet that we humans are being called to help really activate, to help raise the energies on the planet. And in doing that, we're clearing a lot of denser energies out, and we're helping to basically heal the waters, the land.
Wow.
I mean, it's far more involved
right.
than that, but it is calling in a lot of really powerful energies from the cosmic planes that is just the purest, purest, like 100% luminous love energetics. It's so beautiful. You get a wonderful energy wash doing it. I mean, people have come back to me and said, wow, I have never experienced anything like that. So that's free.
Wow.
And it's a recording. It's a video recording. You just download it from my website. And there's audio too.
Wow. Wow. And give folks your website again.
So it's Mare Cromwell. So it's M-A-R-E is how I spell my first name. And then Cromwell, C-R-O-M-W-E-L-L.com.
Okay. Can they purchase your book on there?
Yeah,
or
yeah,
they
definitely.
Go to Amazon, or how do they get your book?
All of the above. If you want an autographed copy, you can go to my website and order it there. I mean, all my books did receive multiple awards, which was really wonderful. And then Amazon, it's definitely available on Amazon and other online venues. And the ebooks are out. I haven't done Audible or audio books yet. That's a whole nother kind of step that I haven't. I kind of look at it and I go, I've researched it. It's a bit complicated. But the books are definitely available online wherever you want to search. They've been out for a couple of years. And some people, it's interesting.
Right.
I got feedback from a woman in, I think she was in Venezuela. She took I did a webinar that's also available on my website on sacred gardening. And this woman from Venezuela enrolled in it. Her English is really good. And she said she could feel the love of Mother holding her and hugging her as she was reading the Great Mother Bible. I thought that was so beautiful.
Yeah.
There's,
I mean, how
there's
honored.
So much She has so much love for us. I mean, it's for all of us to tap into, and it's so healing. And we need it these days because we're really being tested.
The pandemic has really caused a lot of emotional, and I think spiritual stress over the last year with people all over the globe.
Yeah. These are the times. These are the times of great change. And one thing that I believe is that those who do pass over from COVID, on a soul level, they've chosen that. you know, we make so many decisions on a soul level that we may not be conscious of.
Right.
So, you know, if you get sick, you know, really look deep and hard and find that commitment within yourself. Are you here to stay and help birth a new earth, or are you here to let go of your physicality and go back home to spirit?
Yeah, it's been very hard. So, So since I didn't sign up for it, tell us a little bit about A Thousand Goddesses Gathering, the global grid. Tell us a little bit about that.
The Thousand Goddesses Gathering Global Grid is an invitation for everybody to join. I'll word it that way first. It's based on the Tibetan prophecy that when 1,000 goddesses or Tibetan Taras, and if you don't know who the Taras are, they're the Tibetan deities, divine feminine deities,
right.
They're 21 Tibetan Taras. But when 1,000 goddesses or Tibetan Taras unite, this will shift the tone of the planet from fear to compassion. And so the 1,000 Goddesses Gathering is really a unified field of ceremonies all over the world that have, this will be happening again the third Saturday in October. I believe the date is the 22nd, mm-hmm. but don't quote me on that. I meant to look at the calendar before we talk. But you sign up via Eventbrite. There'll be a very small donation requested just to help support our administrative costs. And
right.
the invitation is to join the unified field and do ceremony. And there are, suggestions for ceremony on the 1,000 Goddesses website, which is 1,000, the number goddesses.net. But you can, if anybody wants to join, it's as simple as lighting a candle and calling on your favorite divine feminine deity. It could be Bridget. It could be Isis, or it could be
right.
a whole pantheon of divine feminine ones that you call on. You know, you can do ceremony in multiple different ways. I think we were talking about that earlier. But the whole idea is join us that Saturday, register via our, and the Eventbrite page is not up yet because it's still early in the year. I haven't gotten there yet.
Right.
But circle back to that later in the spring, early summer when it will be up. And
absolutely will.
Yeah, please
so
do,
this,
and join us.
Was this your idea, or did this come to you from Mother, or how did this?
It was another assignment from Mother.
Wow.
One of the many
she
assignments.
Gives you big homework.
I know. Tell me about it. I mean, like the Grandmother Bible. It's like, oh, right. You want me to write a book with the word Bible in there? Thank you. You know, I love her. Don't get me wrong. But what happened is there's a big international group called Tree Sisters. You've probably heard of them. And they raise money, and it's women raising money to reforest the planet. And in the fall of 2015, they were raising money, and there was some posting on Facebook about this Tibetan prophecy of when 1,000 goddesses unite. And they were using that as an invitation, like, we are the 1,000 goddesses, and we are shifting the planet and healing the planet. And as soon as I read that, Mother whispered in my ear, and you're going to organize that in the physical. And I'm like, what?
Oh, wow.
So I said, and you're going to help, right? And she's like, of course. So I thought it was going to be a weekend-long event at some retreat center, and we were going to have vendors and charge admission and really, you know, have it be a beautiful ceremonial weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought we were going to do the first one in 2017, which gave us time to plan for it. Oh, no. Mother wakes me up at 5 in the morning, again, late July 2016, and says this needs to happen in Washington, D.C. before the elections, which was less than 3 months off.
Wow.
Or just about 3 months off. And I was like, what? Okay. So I got out of bed really early and I looked at the calendar and I said, when do you want this, Mother? And she had me put my finger on that date in October, the third weekend in October. And we pulled it off. An amazing group of volunteers came forward. We got a permit to do the event, the big ceremony on the Washington Mall. We actually, some people saw it, a massive conduit of white light came into the middle of our ceremony and radiated through the ground. Yeah, it radiated all the way out around the Washington Mall into that central part of D.C. And apparently, from what I understand from some really gifted light workers, it cleared a lot of dense energies out from the center of D.C., which is why it needed to happen.
Absolutely.
I didn't know that in the beginning. Yeah, I didn't know that initially. So I've been told, and I'm grateful for this, I don't need to organize any more events on the Washington Mall.
There you go.
Yeah, that was enough. But, you know, Eric Eldridge is very close with Selena, and he was a key part of both of the events on the Mall. He worked on the sculptures of the goddess in the center of the ceremony.
Oh, wow.
So I want to thank, I will put a call out and a thank you to Eric Eldridge because he's just fabulous. Yeah.
Right. And it's actually right now Reverend Eldridge. He was ordained with Circle Sanctuary this past Salon. So we're really excited. Yeah. Not this past Salon, two times ago. So yeah, it's really, really exciting. So our time, it's almost at the top of the hour. Our time is almost at a close. Do you have words or thoughts from Mother for us?
Just know how much she loves you. She loves us so much, and connect with her. Connect with her heart. And if you want to really connect deeply, there's a free meditation on my website, but you don't need to go through that channel. You can just go directly to Mother from your heart and your root chakra to her and open it up to her. And just, and if you're having a really rough time, which I know a lot of people are having these days, ask her to hold you. She can come in and hold you and just fill you up. And she is waiting for us to connect with her. And I imagine most of your listeners are already very connected with her. But if anyone out there needs a little bit more of a nudge and wants a reminder of this, you know, truth, because it really is a truth. And Mother loves us tremendously. And she's the most powerful healer out there.
I really, really want to thank you for coming on tonight. And thank you so much, Mare. And if you would like information on Mare, her courses or the meditations that she talked about, or to purchase a book, please go to her website, which is www.marecromwell.com, and that's www.marecromwell.com. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Deborah. It was really fun.
Besides Mayor, I'd also want to thank David and Jeanette, our sound engineers, for their technical expertise. And I want to thank all of you out there, our listeners, for your continued support of all of our shows here on Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, or CSNP. Our next Circle Talk will be Tuesday, February 16th, and we'll be talking with the curator of the Buckland Museum of Magic and Witchcraft. So I look forward to seeing you all again, so please come back. We'll now transition our show with a musical selection. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle.
Bridget of the sacred waters,
Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.